Chapter 8, Attaining the Supreme, Text 16. Please repeat.
Abrahma bhuvana loka punar arvitinurjuna mamupecha tukanteya punar janma navijate. Abrahma bhuvanat.
Birth again. Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. All kinds of yogis, karma, jnana, hatha, etc., eventually have to attain devotional perfection in bhakti yoga or Krishna consciousness before they can go to Krishna's transcendental abode and never return. Those who attain the highest material planets, the planets of the demigods, are again subjected to repeated birth and death. As persons on earth are elevated to higher planets, people on higher planets, such as Brahmaloka, Chandraloka, and Indraloka, fall down to earth. The practice of sacrifice called Panchagni Vidya, recommended in the Chandogya Upanishad, enables one to achieve Brahmaloka. But if on Brahmaloka one does not cultivate Krishna consciousness, then he must return to earth. Those who progress in Krishna consciousness on the higher planets are gradually elevated to higher and higher planets, and at the same time, or at the time of universal devastation, are transferred to the eternal spiritual kingdom. Sridhar Swami, in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, quotes this verse: Brahmana sahate sarve samprapte pati sunchare parasyante katatmana pravishanti paramparam. When there is devastation of this material universe, Brahma and his devotees, who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness, are all transferred to the spiritual universe and to specific spiritual planets according to their desires. Abrahma bhuvana loka punar arvitinarjuna mamupecha tukanteya punar janma navijate. Om Gyanatimadandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miratam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha. So, important verse spoken by Lord Krishna. This verse is appropriate for the karmis, for the jnanis, and for the yogis. It applies to everyone. As far as the karmis are concerned, their aim is to attain the heavenly planets, higher planets, where the standard of enjoyment, material enjoyment, is superior to what we experience on this earth. Lifespan is very long, and the enjoyable features are there. But along with that, along with the intensified material pleasure, there's also an intensified fear of losing that intensified pleasure. Just like Indra, King Indra has certainly a very high standard of material pleasure, with great opulence and so many beautiful heavenly damsels at his disposal, Urvashi and others, Menaka. But along with that comes a tremendous amount of anxiety that he may lose it. So much so that when Vishvamitra Muni was performing his meditation, Indra was frightened that he's going to get some powers and maybe he'll take over my position with the punya, all the pious credits he's getting. So, in order to stop that, he sent Menaka to break his vow. And she was successful. There are many examples of this. Also in the case of Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj had performed 99 Ashvamedha Yajnas. And King Indra had performed 100. He was famous as one who had performed 100 Ashvamedha sacrifices. So Prithu was about to perform the 100th sacrifice, but Indra, he didn't want that his position should be compromised. So he stole the horse that was meant for sacrifice. And the horse was recovered. Prithu Maharaj's son went after, recovered the horse. And then Indra stole it again. He took different disguises. He went to such extremes, he even dressed himself up as different types of sannyasi to steal the horse. So, we can see that it's not all pleasure up there. Sometimes Indra is very victorious, riding on his elephant Airavata and conquering all the demons. But sometimes he's defeated. When Bali Maharaj was in charge of the daityas, he was taking the leading commander-in-chief role, Indra was defeated and had to go and hide for his life in the stems of a flower and lake underneath the water just to keep away from the demons. So what a situation to have to be in. To know that I was riding on top of the world, having so much opulence, and then he has to go and hide for his life. So it's not all pleasure up there. Just like we see here in this world, on our planet, does it mean that people who are rich are more happy? Of course, we all know everyone wants money, but when it really comes down to it, are the richer people more happy? No. We see so many cases of rich people, famous people committing suicide. If they're happy, why would they commit suicide? Why do they take drugs? Why do they have so many divorces? If they're happy, it means they're not getting along. So money or opulence is not the criterion for happiness. There's a story about one very humble, saintly person, a sadhu, and he was performing his bhajan, and a king came to him and said, please let me give you something. And he said, no, I'm not interested. I'm completely satisfied. I have everything I need. He was living such a simple life, just eating a little rice, a little dal, chapati. But he was chanting and he was happy. So the king, he declared that, yes, this is real opulence. The real opulence is to be peaceful and satisfied and happy. And this is the symbol of the Brahmana. The Brahmana must be content with his situation. If he's not content, then he's ruined. If a Brahmin has so many desires, I have to get this and I have to get that, then I'll be happy, then he's ruined. Therefore, saintly person, the most important aspect is to be satisfied with whatever the Lord has provided. To live a simple life, not require so many things. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha lolyamta shadbhir bhaktir vinashati. Srila Rupa Goswami has described 6 causes of fall down. And you see, atyahara, the first one, is overeating or collecting more than required. Exactly the point. That one should be satisfied with a little food. Mitabhuk, one of the qualities of a devotee is he's satisfied with just enough food to keep body and soul together. And what about possessions? Well, first of all, he doesn't consider himself the proprietor of anything. And what does he keep? Just the bare necessities. Srila Prabhupada came to America with practically just one bag full of a few sets of dhotis. That was it. And some books for preaching, for selling. Otherwise, nothing. Akinchana dotra. Living that simply without possessions, false possessions, is very helpful for making advancement. Therefore, the sannyas position is considered to be the topmost because it's the most conducive for spiritual advancement. In other words, the lifestyle of a sannyasi, to have no possessions, to have no fixed residence, to have no wife, no children, no responsibilities, no home, no business. He's not working under anybody. He's not employed by anyone. This is a very conducive situation for making spiritual advancement. Of course, one can be renounced in any position, but there are certain advantages in that particular ashram. Anyway, the point is that atyahara, prayasaha, over-endeavoring for mundane things. Again, same point. Over-endeavoring for mundane things which are difficult to achieve. Indra does this all the time. He works so hard for things that are difficult to achieve. Now, Indra is also serving Krishna in his capacity as King of Heaven. That's true. But still, there is some desire, sakama. Sakama devata, the demigods. Some of them have desires still. And those desires are troublesome. And that's why Krishna is saying this here. Specifically saying, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka. All the way up to Brahma Loka, because the top planet in the universe is Brahma Loka. Even Brahma's position is not to be envied. The Vaishnava Acharyas, they say, there's one verse where they he explains that Vidhi Mahendradish Chakitayate. So Vidhi is the name for Brahma, very learned personality, and Mahendra, the King of Heaven, for one who has received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He considers that the position of having the post of King of Heaven or the engineer of the universe is insignificant. It's no more enviable to him than having the position of, say, a little insect. He actually has no desire to take the post of Indra. This is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Karuna. The mercy of Lord Chaitanya is that one loses the desire for all these material attainments. So does it mean that he has no more desire? He's become a dead stone? No. Well, what is the desire? Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir ohoi tukitvai. He desires to have pure devotional service, birth after birth. This is the desire of the devotee. And if he attains, as Krishna says here, if he attains, mamu pecha tukonte, one who attains to me, one who returns to me, punar janma navijate, he never has to take birth again in this material world. This is a very important point. This is Krishna's guarantee. Everyone looking now when they buy something, they say, what's the guarantee? How long is it guaranteed? What's the warranty? How many years? Who's backing it up? How much are they putting? It's like you buy some, have these surge protectors. You know, one of them says, $10 million equipment guarantee. So you buy it thinking, well, if anything goes wrong, they'll pay. I know I bought one, and something went wrong, and they paid. So I was satisfied. So Krishna is giving his guarantee. Unconditional warranty is here. From the supreme authority, who has all the power to fulfill his desires. There's nobody above him. He is the supermost, Purushottama, the topmost personality. There's no truth superior to him. There's no one above him. No one can make him change. There's a nice story in this example. Once Krishna, when he was on this planet 5,000 years ago, he killed the Bhaumasura. Bhaumasura was the one who stole so many princesses and kept them, 16,000 princesses. So he had done many horrible things, which we will not discuss, but he got into a fight with Lord Krishna and was defeated. And he had also stolen the earrings of Aditi. Aditi is the mother of the demigods, mother of Indra. So Krishna decided to return these earrings that had, very valuable earrings that had been stolen by Bhaumasura, back to Aditi and Indra. So this is a wonderful gesture, typical of Lord Krishna, so thoughtful, so kind. So he decided to go out of his way to go to the heavenly planets just to return these. And he decided to invite one of his queens along with him, Satyabhama. So Satyabhama went with him. Krishna went to the heavenly planet. He was received there very nicely by Indra, all the demigods, Aditi, and he said, so I'd like to present you with these earrings that we recovered. These earrings have been recovered from Bhaumasura and we'd like to return them to you. And Indra was so thankful, and Aditi, thank you very much, very nice of you. And you know, as they were there, Satyabhama, there was sometimes a little, what would you call it, a little bit of competition or rivalry, some friendly rivalry amongst the queens of Krishna. After all, co-wives. So Satyabhama had a little bit of an inferiority complex because Rukmini once received a Parijata flower. A Parijata flowers only grow, at least within the universe, on the heavenly planets. They're not, we don't see them here in the earthly planets. But Rukmini had gotten one, and it was very fragrant and very wonderful. So, because of that, Satyabhama felt a little inferior. So she indicated, maybe Krishna, I could get a Parijata flower also. And Krishna said, why just a flower, my dear queen? You can take a whole tree with you back to Dwarka. Here, take it. He picked it up, gave it to her. She was so happy, and they were about to depart with the Parijata tree. And Indra said, Krishna, excuse me, but Parijata tree is not supposed to leave the heavenly planets. It's meant to stay here. And Krishna said, no, my wife, she wants it, so she'll take it down to Dwarka, it's okay. He said, no, Krishna, it's not okay. Not going to leave here. Krishna said, no. My wife wants it, we're taking it. Indra said, you're not taking it without a fight. All right, let's fight. So Indra, believe it or not, he got together. He started fighting with Krishna, and all the so many demigods were to join his side, and they were all fighting against Krishna, and Krishna defeated all of them. And then he made a declaration, which is quoted by Rupa Goswami. He said, in this matter of taking the Parijata tree, it should be understood that no one can make me break my promise to my devotee or to my queen. So he wanted to show that for his devotee, there is no power that can defeat him. Indra is so powerful, but he couldn't defeat Krishna. Brahma was so mystically powerful, and he could not defeat Krishna with his mystic power. Lord Shiva one time took the side of protecting his follower, Banasura. And he also engaged in battle with Krishna. And he was defeated. So there's no one who can defeat Krishna. There is no example of him being defeated. He's Ajita. So when he makes this promise, when he makes this guarantee, this warranty, that one who attains to my abode will never take birth again, we should have faith in that statement. We should have complete confidence that once we again return back to home, back to God, it means where we came from. Once we go back, then we will not come down again. We will not make that mistake again. This is Krishna's promise. So this is very encouraging. These are the types of verses that give devotees great faith to go on in their practice of devotional service. That's why we need to hear these Bhagavad Gita statements again and again to assure us, to convince us that yes, I should go on with my devotional service. Krishna is promising that I will not have to take birth again in this material world. And he's reminding us that the material world, there's no pleasure even if you go up to the top position of Brahma or Indra. It's stated that if one practices strictly the following all the Varnashram principles for 100 lifetimes, he can attain the position of Brahma. Well, I have so much work, so much endeavor and austerity, and Krishna is saying here that it's a place of misery. There's birth and death. Repeated death, repeated birth, they also have to take birth again. So we should not aspire for any position in this material world. We should only aspire for devotional service, which is on the transcendental platform. And we should desire to go back to Godhead, to be with Krishna, and to engage in devotional service in his presence. Now, as far as the impersonalists, they aspire to attain the Brahman effulgence, generally speaking. The impersonal Brahman. But even that position, Lord Brahma has declared to be impermanent. Yenye ravandaksha vimuktamaninas tvayastabhavad avishuddha buddhaya aruya krichtrena param param tata patantito nadrita yushmanangaya. Their position is also not secure. Because they have not taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Their position in the Brahman effulgence is also not forever. And they fall down again. Because the desires are still there. We are persons by nature. And we have the desire for personal relationships. And we will not be satisfied simply existing eternally. That is not sufficient for us. We have to exist eternally with bliss. And the bliss that's there in the Brahman effulgence is not enough to satisfy the living entities, the souls. They want to have relationships, rasa. And of course, ultimately, the highest pleasure is to reestablish our relationship with Krishna, to enjoy the relationship with Krishna. And they don't have that. They don't even have the relationships of others' personal dealings. So what happens is after some time, they again come down to this material world to establish some kind of relationship, which again doesn't satisfy the soul. And then they're back here in the material world. So whether one goes up to the heavenly planet, Shine Punye Marcha Lokam Vishanti, they come down. Or one goes to the Brahman effulgence, they come down. And those who perform yoga with the intent of getting mystic powers, like Durvasa Muni, he got mystic powers. He was so powerful he could attain to Vaikuntha. He went to see Vishnu. But he could not stay. So simply mystic powers is not sufficient either. One has to have the loving relationship with Krishna. Because one cannot remain in the spiritual world if he's envious. He'll be afraid of falling down. But the devotee is not afraid because he has no envy and he knows that Krishna is protecting him. There's no fear for a devotee because he's taken shelter of the personality who even fear personified is afraid of. That is Bhaja Hure Mana Srinanda Nandana Abhaya Charanara Vindare. The lotus feet of Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is the fearless position for all of us. Then there's nothing to fear. No one can, just like a little child. Little child, when he's holding the hand of his father, he's not afraid of anything. He knows my father is here, he'll protect me. So Krishna is the greatest protector. There's nothing to fear. No more death, fear of death. No more fear of losing their position in any consideration. So are there any questions on this verse? Love. Excuse me? Oh. Yes. Abrahma bhuvana loka punar arvitanarjuna mamupecha tukaunteya punar janma navijyate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Yes. Yes, they can also perform devotional service while there and then be elevated directly to the spiritual planets. Brahma does that, and some of the other demigods do that, but of course we should understand that in that kind of atmosphere there is an enjoying spirit. Even Narad Muni explains, we get some indication about the heavenly planets in as he was explaining his previous birth. He was describing that he was a demigod on the heavenly planets, and he was very fond of women. He was very attractive to women also. And he spent a lot of time enjoying with women. And one day, the demigods were having a Sankirtan party, Harinam, Sankirtan party. And they invited him to come and chant. And he took it lightly. He sang some songs, some mundane songs instead. So because of that, he was cursed to take birth in this earth planet, and he came down. He took his birth as the son of a maidservant. So from that position, of course, he got another opportunity to associate with great souls, and he took advantage. But at least for some time, he was knocked down from that elevated position. Because there's so much opportunity for enjoyment that it's very easy to become captivated by the sense gratification that's available there. That's why it's a little dangerous. Devotees are not advised to aspire to go to the heavenly planets, because we may become attracted. And we may forget the real purpose of life, which is to render service to Krishna. Well, it depends on the individual. Some of them are desiring to maybe have some impersonal desires. Some of them may want to attain Vaikuntha. Some of them may want to attain Goloka. It depends on the individual. Just like here on this planet, there are all people with all different desires that are here. So similarly, they perform austerities to attain to Brahmaloka. Some of them are looking for a peaceful situation or knowledge. Some of them are jnanis. But some of them are bhaktas, and they just want to serve Krishna, and they accept Brahma as the spiritual master or spiritual leader, and they want to serve him there. It's like he's also the head of our sampradaya. So there may be some devotees who aspire to go and live on Brahmaloka and serve there under his direct supervision and guidance. And they live a long life as a kind of byproduct, you might say, of being there. They also live a very long time, millions of years. And then they also go back to Godhead. They cannot give liberation, but sometimes the worshippers don't know that. And therefore they may be worshipping them thinking they'll get liberation, like Hiranyakashipu and others. Actually, only Krishna can give it, but like nowadays, so many worshippers, they worship different demigods and they think they'll get moksha by worshipping the demigods. That's not the process. Any other? Yes?
In the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhanu is being described. For each mana, they name a different King Indra, a different name of King Indra. So all these pastimes of Bhagavatam, King Indra, are they different Indras or the same?
I don't know if you heard the question, but he was describing the eighth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that different manus are described, and manus are basically in charge of management of the universe, at least one of the main positions. And in different Manvantar periods, 71 Divya Yugas, there are different Indras described and different sages and different positions. So, yes, different individual living entities take the post of Indra or King of Heaven. But the Indra that is described, generally speaking, is the Indra that is presently, like for example, Krishna, he appeared 5,000 years ago, so that's a very short period of time. So that Indra that tried to play the trick on Krishna, that's the Indra. And if we consider going back at the beginning of the Satya Yuga of this period, you would have to go back over 71 yugas. But so if they describe the at the beginning of the creation of the universe, then yes, that would be a different Indra. Some of them are this Indra, some of them, that's a good point. Any other? Okay, thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai.
Jai.
Prabhupada, ki jai.
Jai.